Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. This is a fundamental premise of a number of arguments which are made by the Apostle Paul regarding the doctrine of soteriology, i.e., the doctrine of salvation. According to the account in the book of Genesis, God made promises to Abraham. Abraham was also said to be seeking another non-earthly kingdom. Note these two pieces. One, seeking our Creator, and two, our Creator speaking directly to certain individuals, such that actual statements regarding the content of these conversations have been recorded and transmitted from one generation to the next, either in a written form or in an oral tradition. Abraham is called a friend of God. That is to say, he has a certain degree of personal intimacy with his Creator. Abraham hears instructions which are said to emanate from God. He is told to go to another land. He is told of promises of a seed which will come forth out of his loins, a child of promise. Various promises are made to him. Exact statements are made to him, such that it can be said that Abraham was having a two-way conversation with the deity. Abraham is a man of visions and revelations. His grandson, Jacob, continues this familial tradition as he sees a ladder going up to heaven with angels ascending and descending. He is said to have wrestled with the angel of the Lord, a physical confrontation during which Jacob injures his leg, thereby forcing him to concede victory to his opponent. And there he is named Israel, a prince of God, he being given this name by God himself. His son Joseph is a man who has dreams and visions, and who is thought to be so wise and in contact with higher powers that he ends up as nothing less than a counselor to the pharaonic ruler of Egypt, where he has been sent as a captive thanks to the treachery of his brothers. Jacob/Israel is said to have produced offspring in the form of 12 sons, who will become known as the 12 tribes of Israel. Upon his deathbed, he makes prophetic statements in which Judah is said to be a lion's whelp, giving rise to the title Lion of the Tribe of Judah, which becomes a synonym for Christos/Messiah. A pattern is thus beginning to appear whereby God is in close contact with specific persons who are very aware of his presence and to whom he is communicating precise information by means of dreams and visions and outright conversations. A pattern which will be seen to repeat over and over again throughout both the Old and New Testaments. This being what I refer to as true religion, not a series of rites and rituals into which it will soon enough degenerate, but rather a relationship. Or should I say a very personal relationship, and a very active and real relationship by which the earthbound recipient is assured of the existence of his Creator, who is directing his steps while communicating specific and precise information to him. A little over 400 years after Joseph, his descendant Moses is said to have been out wandering one day, during which he sees a marvelous sight, a bush which is burning, yet not consumed by the flame. Upon investigating the matter, he is informed that he is in the presence of deity. Again, he is given very precise information and directions. It is at this juncture that God tells what will now become his covenantal name, implying a bond of very intimate union between Creator and created being. And then, after preparing Moses by means of powerful signs and wonders, the deity manifested himself to all who were called out of Egypt out into the wilderness, where another pattern begins to manifest itself, a pattern of saying one thing while doing another, of proclaiming obedience while continuing in disobedience. Yet, all the while carrying about with numerous rites and rituals by which true religion is quickly transformed into a new form of false religion. The earlier true religion, which is formed by intimate union, culminating in profound obedience, no matter what the cost, which is now transformed into outward conformity, which is then used as a shield behind which to hide the most profound disobedience, as already sick hearts continue to become sicker and sicker, whereby true religion is replaced by persons who have chosen to play religion in place of taking part in the real thing. The cares of today far overwhelming the thoughts for the morrow and for the eternal state into which all will soon enough enter into. Those being the prototypes of what I refer to modernly as churchianity, where we all get together and play church, just as little boys and girls play house and play doctor and play cowboys and Indians, all make-believe, and most certainly incapable of changing wicked hearts into anything worthy of the name righteous and pure, and where true sacrificial love is replaced by a system which is all about what is in it for me. All things revolving around me, me, me. I call this system churchianity because it is a make-believe system which is entirely void of any ability to effect change toward real godliness and purity and separation from worldliness, yet all the while practicing rites and rituals which pretend to be able to make one a better person, spiritually speaking. A form of godliness without the power thereof, as the New Testament so succinctly states the matter. Yes, another Christ, another gospel, and another spirit, if ever there was one. But not really another gospel, but rather a twisting of the gospel. A twisting to their own destruction, as I am given to understand the matter.